This morning we're talking retail. We're talking to Alison Laws, who's a retail consultant and based in Leyburn. And good morning to you, Alison. Nice to have you back.
Good morning. Thank you. Lovely to be back.
It is good to have you here. But you were on a few weeks back, and we started to talk about how you can improve your premises if you've got a retail store or something like that. Last time we covered the right range, having the right things in the right place in the shop. Today, we're going to move on to a very sticky wicket. It's customer service. Is this something people often forget?
Definitely. You can deliver excellent customer service, or you can deliver some shockingly bad customer service, and the line between is unconscious and very thin. It's just such an area that can have a massive impact, because people buy from people. So it's all about establishing a relationship with your customer initially, and then working on that relationship. It's like anything, you've got to put the work in to reap the rewards.
I feel when I go into a store and I get like a nice response, whoever serves me, and if it's even better if it's the same person when I go back. But I do go back if I get that nice warm feeling when I've been in the store and they've been helpful, and you know they've pointed me in the right direction. That makes me return as a customer. And is that what you're talking about? You're talking about building some loyalty.
Yes, I am. In fact, you know, it doesn't matter whether your customer's a local customer. They're possibly more important because they're going to be coming back time and time and time again. But your tourist customers are equally as valid and important, because they, if you build a relationship with them, will come back to you. Many of our tourists, particularly in this area, come back every month. They come back on a regular basis. So they become, in effect, locals, just infrequent locals. And if you go to somewhere like the Love Yourself Collection in Leyburn, or the Alchemist Cottage in Hawes, you'll get greeted. You'll get a really warm greeting. And that personal touch, the treating of customers as individuals rather than just a number, is a massive advantage. It's so important. You should take the time to speak to your customers as individuals and not just as a number. I mean, you've just demonstrated it, how it works on you. It works on everybody if you treat them like people, and people that you want to be in your store. It makes a difference.
Now, I'm going to presume that good, very good customer service doesn't happen by accident.
Some of it is inherent in you. Some of it, you know, if you're a people person and you're chatty and you can do the people thing, it's unconscious. It happens. For some people, you have to make a physical effort to be there and to be present and to deliver what you want to deliver. You know, it's about being honest, and it's about being authentic. It's not about reading from a script. If you go into McDonald's and McDonald's will say, "Welcome to McDonald's and have a nice day," and you think, you don't mean that. You're only saying it because you've been told to say it. That's part of the script. It's nonsense. It doesn't have any meaning to me whatsoever.
And does that frustrate customers when they get a script, effectively?
It certainly frustrates me. a lot of people that I speak to, yeah, it frustrates them because they're only saying it because they have to say it. It's a script. And if you deviate off the script and they don't know what to say, it's just a bad experience. So authenticity and speaking from your heart and not your head is some of my top tips for building a relationship with a customer.
They're not a supermarket, but there's a store, and it's a national chain that I often visit, and I'm sure many people do. And I'm not going to name them because that would be bad. But when you go in there, whatever is on the counter next to the till is the thing they're going to say, "Do you want a Mars bar or some mints today?" Every time I now go up to them and say, "I don't want a Mars bar or mints," before you ask me.
I know the store that you're talking about. But it depends, because if it's chocolate, it could be
pretty easy. Yeah, but from a retail point of view, is that a good thing to do? Because you're prompting customers to buy, aren't you? And maybe if you're trying to push up your take by getting them to, all right then, you've got another sale.
I think it's a sticky wicket, because if you're in the right mood, it's perfectly acceptable. If you're not in the right mood, it's really irritating. So it's a sticky wicket that it's a difficult one for sure. Yeah. And it very much depends on the product that you're trying to push.
And it doesn't tick the authenticity box, really, does it?
Because it's not really.
No, not at all. All right, let's move on to product knowledge. You've got to know your stuff, haven't you?
You do have to know your stuff. If you don't know what you're talking about, nobody wants to buy from you, because people buy from people. I've said that earlier. But they also want to know that particularly in small stores like around here, for instance, if you take Victoria's Lingerie in Leyburn, it specialises in ladies' undergarments. You want to know that the person who is selling you those products knows their products. They know what they're talking about, that they're going to make sure that they fit you properly and that you have what you need. So you can't just go into a shop where they don't know. You'll end up with the wrong product. And then if you end up with the wrong product, you won't go back to that shop.
Asking if there's any sugar in a product. And I would expect them to know that if there's, added sugar in something, because I'm trying to avoid it.
Yes. Well, it's one of those things. If you're in a supermarket, you possibly don't know everything about everything. But if you're in a small retailer where you've got a restricted range of products, you should know about those products. You should know if they're locally made, you should know who makes them and where they're made. If there's any unique selling points about them, if they have any known ingredients which cause allergies, if they're vegan, all of this basic information. I mean, you don't want to know which cow produced the milk that made the cheese. You don't want to know down to that. Well, some people might, but you do want to know if it's produced locally. You do want to know all of the basic information. And if you don't know that information, people will make the choice of going and shopping somewhere where they do know that information.
And how important is it to know how it tastes or what it's like or how it feels?
Do you know what? One of the key things that I always say to customers is to get things out of boxes so that people can touch them. A little bit dicey at the moment with the COVID restrictions, but, get the stuff out of boxes so that people can feel. I was in a store the other day, a clothing store, and several people came one after the other, and they went to the same garment and they made the same feeling to see how thick the product was. So touch and taste and smell is really important. If you've got, a new cheese, get it cut up into little bits and do some tastings, because you will sell lots more if people can actually try before they buy.
Exactly. It's an unknown quantity to them, isn't it? So, that
it is.
Oh, actually, I like this. I didn't know I liked it, but I do,
You can have a taste of it before investing in it. So you're not going to spend loads of money and then decide, actually, I don't like it.
Okay, let's talk customer service delivery. Customer service delivery. I don't know what that means.
So it's about how you deliver your customer service. It's about investing in customer service. It's about how you approach a customer, how you sell to a customer, how you close a sale, things like that. So it's how you physically deliver customer service. I mean, we've talked about a lot of it, about having products available. We've talked about building a relationship with a customer. But a lot of people find selling particularly a challenge, because they feel under pressure that they have to do certain things. And that's not the truth at all. Again, it's all about building the relationship with the customer, having your product knowledge, approaching the customer in the right way, answering all of their questions, but asking all the right questions, listening actively so that you understand what the customer's saying rather than just giving a pat response. And then closing the sale. And closing the sale is more than just about taking the money. It's about the final experience at the till, and it's about saying to them things like, oh, I hope to see you again soon. And it's about having that transaction from the start when they enter the store to the finish when they exit the store, and having all those touch points in between where you can deliver good customer service. So it might not be directly about your products. Good customer service might be answering questions about the parking outside. It might be anything. It could be anything. But what you're doing is you're establishing the relationship and you're establishing your approachability to answer questions. And that makes people feel much more comfortable about coming in, spending time looking around your store, asking questions, and then transferring that questions into actual purchases. So it's customer service. There's a skill to it, but it is a skill that you can learn.
And we all have to dealing with disappointment, don't we?
We do.
So what does that mean in retail terms?
So, you know, if you buy something and it doesn't perform as you expect it to perform, or, you know, you buy something and it goes off before the sell-by date, or you buy a piece of clothing and the button drops off, or you are promised something and then somebody doesn't fulfil that promise, that is disappointment. But every disappointment gives you an opportunity to turn it round into a positive experience. So if somebody bought something and the leg dropped off it, you've got an opportunity there. I'm trying to think of something that where the leg would drop off. Maybe a table.
Table or chairs.
Maybe we'll go with an item of clothing that the button drops off, or there's a hole appears in a seam. You've got an opportunity there to turn the disappointment into a real positive and to turn that customer into an advocate of your business, because you deal with them responsibly, sympathetically and positively. So yeah, they come in like going, your product is rubbish, and they go out with a new product and they go out feeling much better that you have treated them really well, solved the problem,
and that goes back to point one, doesn't it? Because then if they feel you've looked after them in the face of a problem, that builds that loyalty again, and they're more likely to come back again.
That's the critical thing. It's treating them in such a way that you will be their preferred retailer. If they want to buy something that you sell, you will be the first place that they think of to go to. That is your ultimate aim. You want to be top of their mind when they think of the products that you sell. Not a national chain or an online retailer. They will come to you because of the experience that you deliver in the store.
Very, very good, solid advice again, Alison. We've run out of time. It flies by when you come on. So today we talked about customer service. Hopefully next time you come on, which will be in, I don't know, a few weeks or 3 weeks, something like that, we could talk about visual merchandising. How important is what you see with your eyes? We'll find out next time we speak. Alison Laws, who's a retail consultant based in Leyburn. Thanks for coming on. Speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.